All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start the hour off by giving someone an opportunity to take home a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles, 412-922-1020. That's the number to dial to get in on that. And if you have a question for the organic gardener, DougOster.com, you can call right now, 866-391-1020. Doug, I know you were at Many Spaghetti Breakfast. Jimmy Sapienza, a great guy, and boy, they broke the mold. He's definitely going to be missed. Good morning.
Oh, that's sad news this morning, Rob. That's all I can say. That's just sad news, you know. Every spaghetti breakfast. Well, going to be a cold week, that's for sure. I can't wait for spring. Today I'm going to start my weekly Great Garden Book giveaway. These are brand new releases. I've got a room stacked up with books that publishers have sent me. And in fact, some of these books aren't even officially out yet. This week I'm giving away Grow Your Soil by Diane Meisler. It's a great book with lots of science and practical tips, too, for understanding and improving that garden soil. Just go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, and type the word soil or giveaway or whatever. I want the book in, and you'll be entered. I'll pick a winner tomorrow. And as I said, boy, it looks like a tough end of winter, but I'm telling you what, there is a great way to bring winter inside, and it's by cutting your forsythia or pussy willow branches. It is one of the easiest jobs you can do, especially with that forsythia, which is, you know, very common shrub. Just go out, cut off some branches. I like to cut them, also kind of split them at the bottom so they soak up water, and just stick them in a vase, and in a week you're going to have beautiful yellow blooms from that forsythia, and it's just so nice. I've been posting some pictures. I've got a couple vases filled with forsythias in the living room, and it's just gets us to the end here. You know, think about it. Peas go in on St. Patrick's Day, so that's not that far away. The story I wrote this week is for the Green Voice is all about taking cuttings. Another great winter job. It focused on a place called Angora Gardens in White Oak, which is an amazing place. It's a wellness center, basically, you know, but it helps people in the community, helps people with intellectual disabilities, helps all sorts of people, and they have a beautiful greenhouse, and it shows how to take these cuttings. They're going to use all their cuttings for their plant sale, which is in May. We'll talk about it when we get closer. Hopefully, they could be able to have it normally, you know, Angora Gardens, just like anybody else. So they, you know, they have yoga classes and people coming to the greenhouse to work, but during COVID, not allowed. Hopefully, this will open up soon. But their cuttings are, like I said, they're to help fund Angora Gardens, which is a cool thing. If you have a gardening question today, you can't get through, you're too shy to call, again, just go to DougOster.com. After the show, I'll answer questions for about an hour. I'm happy to do it. Any question that I don't get to there right away, I'll answer today for sure. And later in the show, Mrs. Know-It-All will talk about what to start from seed now, but also, important, what not to start inside right now. It's too early for some things, so she's got a lot of ideas about that. And this is a great day to call the show. You know, when we start getting warmer and warmer, it's going to be hard to get through, so give us a call. If you got a question about your house plants, about seed starting, getting ready for the season, anything else, you got a good garden story to tell, give us a call, 866-391-1020. We wouldn't happen to have a caller already, would we, Rob?
No, we wouldn't, but I know you always have some great questions from your listeners. Before we get to that and take our first break of the hour, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and Melinda and I have been talking about food, obviously the game today and what have you, but I keep going back to canning and, you know, preserving and the Janoski's jarred products and all this stuff. I think we probably are in the midst of something pretty amazing right now as far as people canning their own food, especially growing what they did in the garden. And moving forward to where we are right now, you have to believe that people who have never gardened in their life are going to be gardening this spring, Doug.
Well, there's already no doubt about that. You know, I've talked about this the last couple of weeks, that seed companies are going 24/7 trying to get people their seeds. Canning has become a big deal. In fact, it is can be difficult to find your jars and lids and that sort of thing, if you can find them and you're into canning or want to learn how to do canning, get some jars now. You know, we're not canning until we get to harvest season. But, yeah, gardening is going to be another going to be big this year, and that's what we're here to do.
All right, we're going to take a real short break. We got lots to get to. We'd love to hear from you. All of our lines are open, so if you have a question for Doug, you can call us right now at 866-391-1020. Quick break, quick look at sports, and then right back to your calls. The Organic Gardener, he is Doug Oster, DougOster.com, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDK. Okay, still waiting for some folks to call in to talk to Doug. If you have a question, now would be a great time. 866-391-1020. Next couple of segments will be dedicated to you, the listeners. So if you have a gardening question, give us a call. DougOster.com is where you can always find out more. You know, Doug, I said going into the break about how many people are going to be gardening for the first time. But kind of like a kid in a candy store, your eyes can be bigger than your stomach. We want people to understand the best way to begin is to go slow, is it not?
It's human nature, and especially in gardening, to bite off more than you can chew. We've all done it. And I know that it can be overwhelming if you go to a nursery and you see, you know, bulbs and tubers and trees and shrubs, but there's three basic things that you can do to start a garden. And number one, and the people that listen to the show for years, it's like a broken record. It's improving the soil. So you add compost, you add organic matter, especially for a brand new garden that's going in. I always tell people, build up. Don't do what I did, which was, you know, for years and years would add compost to my soil and dig it in until, you know, we get 3 or 4 years in and we got some really great looking soil. Just go buy some compost, you know, even if it's a truckload of compost, and just dump it and plant right in that. You have an instant garden. But improve the soil is number one. Number two is know when certain plants are to be started. That's one thing we're going to talk about a little later. Mrs. Know-It-All is going to tell us what seeds we could start now, but there are a lot of seeds we shouldn't start this early. And all that information about when things should be planted, whether it's indoors now or out in the garden when we get to spring, or you got to wait all the way until, you know, May when things warm up, that information is pretty easy to find. And then the third thing is just don't let the plants dry out. That's about watering and about mulching. But, you know, as we get through the season, we'll be following through the garden year as to what I'm planting, what you could be planting. And believe it or not, you know, I've got this unheated greenhouse, and I did some winter sowing of some cool weather crops, assuming they would sprout, you know, more towards March, you know, when things warmed up. But I got some mustard greens, like three pots of mustard greens that sprouted. And even now we're getting those really cold temperatures at night, and tonight will be a true test at 9 degrees, but it's dropped to, you know, 10, 11. The greenhouse gives it a little bit of protection, but it being unheated, it's still cold out there. But those mustard greens are still there, you know, in a little 6-inch pot, which surprises me. That's just part of the fun of gardening. Even after all these years of gardening, you know, oh, mustard greens, they sprouted. This is cool. This is good to know, because this might be something I can grow out here, start them earlier, get them up to a little bit bigger size, and have them all winter. And so that's part of gardening. And I do have some questions here that I got after the show in the last couple of weeks. And one is a real great one. She says that she met an older lady once who composted by putting whole banana peels within a few inches of a bush. Oftentimes that's roses. And we hear this a lot, you know, just throwing something, coffee grounds or banana peels around a plant. Those two things, they have good stuff in them. And the end of the question is, does it have any adverse effects? And I always say that whenever you've got these big things like that, banana peels or coffee grounds or whatever it is, it's always better just to compost them separately. Everything mixes together. You know, people are thinking with the banana peel, okay, high in potassium. But to just throw a banana peel on top or even dig it in. You know, that there's a thing called trench composting where people will just make a trench, throw that stuff in there, and then next year plant on top of it. That's great, but just throwing it next to a bush, it's just not going to do what you want it to do. So take all those big things and compost them. We talk a lot on the show about composting, and I've been composting forever. And all it is anything that once was living will become compost. It is a great way to recycle. You'll find out that when you start doing what we call split the waste stream, and we've got these things that we used to throw away, now we're putting them out in the compost bin, you'll cut what you were taking to the curb in half. Now, you still got to take it somewhere. You still got to take it out to your compost pile. But all my compost piles are made out of shipping pallets, and I've got three of them, and I just throw all that new stuff in, anything from the garden, anything from the kitchen except for meats, oily things, or dairy, except for eggshells. We do eggshells. But, you know, vegetable peelings, fruit peelings, coffee grounds, banana peels, all that sort of stuff goes in there every day or every other day. I'm throwing it out in the compost pile, just making a pile of it, and in about a year, it becomes compost. There's faster ways to do it, but it just feels good. But also the reason it's such a great way to recycle is that you get the direct benefit. The compost that you make is better than anything you're going to get anywhere else. It doesn't smell. It doesn't attract rodents, as long as you keep that meat and dairy and oil out of there. And instead of like this, you know, kind of old school throwing banana peels on top, get a compost pile going. It's easy, and it's a great thing to do, and you get that great compost. I'm getting lots of questions because we're in houseplant season about fungus gnats. And the thing about houseplants, and that's where you get your fungus gnats, they're going to be, you know, floating around in the house, is that if that soil's too wet, you're going to have fungus gnats. And all you really have to do to get rid of them is just dry out the plants. Forget about, you know, watering them for a couple weeks, and you'll be through with your fungus gnats. In general, houseplants like to stay on the dry side anyway. The only way you can kill most houseplants is with kindness, which is too much water. So, you know, just stick your finger down in the dirt. You get two knuckles down and there's no water, give them a little bit of moisture. If you stick your hand in there or if the pot's heavy, you don't have to water until the plant lightens up, until it dries out a little bit. How are we doing on time, Rob?
We got about 1 minute, Doug.
All right. One more question. It's a good one, too. So I talked a lot about these pole beans that I've been growing, Monte Gusto, and there's a new one called Monte Cristo. Monte Gusto yellow is a yellow, big yellow bean, highly prolific. I just was blown away by it. Well, there's a green version that just got released called Monte Cristo. But the question was, where in the North Hills can I find them? Well, you probably can't because they come from this company called Kitchen Garden Seeds. So you've got to go online, go to Kitchen Garden Seeds. The beans are there. I ordered them, but I also ordered a mix of the Monte Gusto, the Monte Cristo, and a purple one. So I'm going to grow all three. That's going to be pretty. Can't wait to start planting beans in May.
All right, we're coming back. We want you to give Doug a call. We've got room for you. Anything on your mind in the way of gardening, 866-391-1020. Mrs. Know-It-All will be here as well. Melinda's got the news coming up in a couple of moments. Don't forget today all about the game recipes. All sorts of great ideas on the Coons Cooking Hour at 8 with Joe and Frank Dentisi. Good morning. And right now, if you're the 10th caller on the radio, you call us, 412-922-1020. You're going to win yourself a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton, Pennsylvania. All right, Doug Oster is here. It's DougOster.com, and we got to get to the phones. Let's say hi to Kay. She's in the North Hills today, where Doug's from, on KDKA. Hey, Kay, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, Doug, I usually go and get the dirt from the township. But last year they closed it down because of the COVID. They started and then they stopped. I was wondering, could I have, my garden is a raised bed garden. It's very small. I was wondering about getting some mushroom manure to put on it.
So what Kay is talking about there is that many municipalities, and we're both in Ross, they'll dump compost made from our collected leaves. Most municipalities in Allegheny County, they do that. You just need to find out where they dump it. And so it's a free source of compost. Kay, I'm surprised we haven't bumped into each other up there at that giant pile.
I'm actually in McCandless.
Oh, okay. So you're one township over. But again, they drop a big pile in Ross. They drop one in McCandless, and it's a great resource. And I think, Kay, we're probably going to be in the same boat, I would think, this April when they dump it. We might not be able to do that. But for me, mushroom manure, it's a good organic matter source, but the thing is, oftentimes it can be highly alkaline, which is something that I worry about. That would change the pH. And so, in general, if that's all you can find, that's fine.
What would you use?
I would use pure compost. If I was in the North Hills, I'd go to a place. Like, how much do you think you need? Like a pickup truckload, or
maybe? Really, I think it would be better if I had it in bags, if I can get it. Maybe 10 bags or something.
So 10 bags would be about $5 a piece. Han Nursery, that's the stuff I use. It's basically a bagged version of what they give away at the township. It's called the leaf mold, but don't worry about that mold. That doesn't mean anything. It's just compost made out of leaves. So you could either do the pickup truck load at Dragons, Dragunns, which is on Evergreen.
Right.
One of the stretches of Evergreen, and I'm thinking that's going to cost you a little less than the bags, but of course the bags are so much easier to
yeah.
deal with.
Yes.
So I would just go to Han Nursery. You know, it's close to you, and
yes.
Get your bags that way. Now that I'm thinking about it, there might be a way they package it with a bigger bag. You know, I get the smaller bags, which are about, I would guess, like 40 quarts, they would call it, but there are some bigger bags there that are about twice that size, so you'd have less bags, but they'd be bigger. So that's the way to do it. And for raised beds, that's what we're doing. You know, Kay and I are just adding a little compost every year. How was your year last year, Kay? Did you have a good season during that drought?
That was okay. I just, you know, because I add that dirt every year, and I didn't have it last year, I think. My tomatoes did okay. I'm going to try to grow some pole beans this year. It was okay. I just think it needs something more this year. So
that. Putting that compost is going to help. Also, the other thing they have at Han Nursery and at the Pittsburgh Agway stores is this granular fertilizer I like. It's called Revita. It's from Ohio Earth Foods, and it's $20 for a 50-pound bag, and it's basically just dehydrated chicken manure. And I'm telling you, if you want to recharge your beds and you want to do it cheaply, now I'd still recommend getting the compost, but then sprinkle some of that stuff in there too. That's the magic dust that gives you the green thumb.
Okay, I will do that.
And I don't know if you heard, but that Monte Gusto pole bean that I grew last year, I just threw those seeds behind some garlic and didn't do it right. I don't know what I was thinking. But I had more beans than I could possibly imagine.
Wow.
I grow a lot of pole beans. That one, Monte Cristo this year I'm going to do, a purple one I'm going to do. There's one called Trail of Tears that I've grown for years and years. But nothing compared to that Monte Gusto yellow. That thing, I was giving away bags of beans.
Wow.
This year I'm going to do it right. I'm going to put compost in. I'm going to put those bean seeds in to the right place. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like. And they're so beautiful. There's a beautiful yellow, but they just taste like a green bean. You know, sometimes people, they think the yellow one's going to taste different. But it's just, it was just so prolific. Just an amazing, amazing
where do
bean.
Where do I get them?
It's called Kitchen Garden Seeds, John Sheeper's Kitchen Garden Seeds. But if you just search Kitchen Garden Seeds, it'll come up. And I'll tell you, if I was to do it and I ordered them this way, there's a package of the three different ones. They're all in the same package, Monte Gusto, Monte Cristo, and then some purple variety. And so you'd have three different types of pole beans, and you could judge which one was the most prolific, and you'd have different colors. I think that's going to be kind of cool. All right,
yes,
Kay.
I do too.
Good luck. I'm sure I'll see you out there somewhere.
All right, let's go to Keith up next for Doug Oster. Hey, Keith, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rob and Doug. Hey, Doug, I got a deck that catches a good bit of sun in the summer, and I wanted to get a couple of tomato plants going in containers. Any tips on doing that?
That's a great question. I always recommend for tomatoes that you use a type of container called self-watering. And you want
say that again?
To be self-watering. That's out there is called the Earth Box, but there are many different types. And how it works is there's a reservoir down below where the soil is, and that's as long as that's filled with water, the soil will never dry out. What happens with container tomatoes? First off, people will start with a container that's too small, and they can't keep it watered. And if that container does not have the water it needs, you're going to get blossom end rot, which is something that happens when the tomato can't get the calcium it needs. It's trying to absorb it from the soil, but without the water, it can't get it, and then the bottom of the tomato kind of rots, and that is a disappointing thing. And so that's why the self-watering container works great. Now, an earth box is about $50, and you can put two tomatoes in there. If you're a cheapskate like me, just Google self-watering container for tomatoes, and you can see you could build your own out of a Rubbermaid container if you wanted to pretty cheaply. All it is you're just putting a shelf in there, a way to get the water down there to that reservoir, and then bigger is always better for containers because it takes longer for them to dry out. In the case of a tomato, we cannot let that soil dry out. And other than that, growing a tomato variety that is bred for containers. In the case of the Earth Box, you can grow any tomato you want there as long as you have support for it. You can grow a full-size tomato. But a lot of times we'll put a bush tomato in there. There's a variety that I love that you can usually find out there. It's called Super Bush. The reason I love it is it stays nice and stocky, and it puts on good-sized tomatoes. A lot of those bushier patio tomato, they call it, or container tomato, a lot of times they're just putting on a little, 2-ounce, 3-ounce tomato. Super Bush puts on a full-size tomato. And so when you're out and about looking, and I grow lots of tomatoes in containers, but almost exclusively in the self-watering container, and I actually do have two of those earth boxes in my garden, and they just do a great job at growing tomatoes in a pot.
That earth box, is it like a pot? Is it down low?
It's down low. It's kind of like a big giant window box container shaped that way. It's longer than it is wide, and there's enough room in there for two full-size tomatoes. I've seen them used all through the area if you don't have room in your garden where you can put them on your patio. The thing is, if you're going to grow a full-size tomato in there, you're going to have good support. You're going to have cages or some kind of staking system because the tomato is going to get just as big as if it's in the ground.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the earth box or another self-watering container is a great way to grow tomatoes through the summer.
All right, thank you for the call. Short break, look at sports, then right back at it. And Mrs. Know-It-All coming up next. All right, time now for that weekly feature to wrap up the Organic Gardener, Doug Oster Show. And it's time for, go ahead, Doug.
It's time for Mrs. Know-It-All, horticulturist Denise Schreiber. And, Denise, it's going to be 9 degrees tonight. We all want to get our seeds going, do something in the garden. What should we be planting inside?
Maybe designing what you want to have in the garden and place them. Right now, there's nothing. The ground is frozen. So people who want to start things now, I know, including me and you, we're itching to get our fingers in the soil and, start our seeds. It's still too early for us. Otherwise, if you start plants now, you're going to have, 3-foot spindly, carrots, for instance. And that's not something we want. But if you're starting seeds soon, and you're doing seeds like petunias or impatiens or begonias, the seeds are almost like dust. And so one of the ways that we always used to do it, because we weren't a big commercial operation per se, is I would get a little bit of play sand, the white sand that you put in the sandboxes for the kids. You could also use the sand that you sometimes find in craft stores for doing those sand art things. And what we would do would take the packet of seeds and open it up and then take literally a pinch of sand, put it in there, close up the envelope, and shake it up to separate the seed, and then gently tap it out onto a moistened seed tray. And that way you can actually kind of see the seeds. And seeds, when they're that small, typically don't need covered, you know, which is a mistake a lot of first-time gardeners do. They automatically think that seeds need to be covered. Not all of them do, and especially when they're that small. Now, there's also pelleted seed that you can buy. And usually that contains several seeds inside this tiny little, I think they call them prills, and they kind of look like beanbag filling. And, you know, so you put them in, and you can separate them with the sand if you like, and just kind of, you know, put them in and tap them down gently into the soil so they have good contact, but you still don't want to cover them. And they will germinate as soon as you put the seed in, and then, you know, the moisture actually dissolves that covering. So you don't have
to. With that surface sowing, that's a great idea with the sand because those seeds are so small. You've got your, you know, your mix that you're going to be planting in a container inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's moist. When you sprinkle those seeds on top, do you spray any water on there or you don't have to?
You don't really have to. You do have to make sure that the seeds have good contact with the soil. And a lot of times I'll use a like a plastic spoon and just press it down. You don't want to drag it along because you may drag some seed. But just simply press, you know, the back of the spoon, simply press it down to make sure you've got good contact with the soil. And then you always bottom water, especially with seeds that small. And a good way to do it is if you have them in a tray, you could actually take like a thick bath towel, an old one, and, you know, fill the tray with water, put the bath towel in there, let it absorb, and then put your seed tray on top of it, and the water will actually wick up into the potting soil and keep the plant moist.
Real quick, I got a question via text from my friend Bill Zener. How about onions right now?
Onions, you could probably start in about another, I want to say 2 weeks, and, you know, get them started. But you've got to remember to also separate them. They're a little different than doing, say, flower seeds.
And always fresh seed with onions, right?
Always. There's a couple that you always need to have fresh seed. Parsley's another one that you always have to have fresh seed with.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All. Yeah. Thank you so much for the information. If you're itching to get something started, those little seeds, begonias, petunia, impatiens, maybe some onions in a week or so will be a great way to get going inside. Now, I'll be answering questions after the show if you go to DougOster.com. Also, if you'd like to win a copy of Grow Your Soil by Diane Meisler, just go to DougOster.com and click on the contact button and just put something in there saying I want to win the book or soil or whatever it is. I'll pull the winner next couple days, probably tomorrow. And one more thing, my Doug's Free Seed Shacks program is in full swing. I got 6 of those old-fashioned newspaper boxes where you put a quarter in and open it up. I'll give you more about that as it comes about. I'm looking for somebody to paint those boxes if you know anybody. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, have a good one.